You're too damn white, guys.
Everything good?
Yep.
Welcome back to another Too Damn White Guys. We're in the house. We've got a soundboard. We may or may not have a soundboard now. We're a legit podcast.
I'll be damn, you two white guys.
What was that? Most podcasts have soundboards.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of like some of the fun ones do, all the best ones do, and now we are on that list, is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
If you aren't listening to a podcast with a soundboard that's called Two Damn White Guys, what are you listening to? That was a lot of criteria.
Mozart.
Today we're going to be talking about Santa Claus. Should you teach your kids about Santa Claus, Andrew? What do you think? Is this ethical to lie to your kids?
Well, is it really the parents that teach the kids about Santa Claus? I think they kind of find out from the playground and from society in general.
For me, it was the opposite because I had nothing but kids telling me he wasn't real. And my parents were the ones, and that's not like, I don't like hold anything against my parents for that. I think they were just having a good time and doing what like other parents were doing. But, you know, they let me believe it for a long time. So it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, like, so pros and cons. I guess theoretically one reason parents tell their kids about Santa Claus, like perpetuate the myth that Santa Claus exists, is maybe they think that it's kind of leveraged to get good behavior because they say, oh, well, Santa's watching if you're naughty or nice. Right?
This is the part that I wonder if it's ethical because it's, it's kind of manipulation.
Yeah, it is. However, it might actually work. There's some studies on this. If you put kids in a room, tell them there's like an imaginary princess or whatever there is, an imaginary creature or imaginary person that's watching them and that's invisible and, you know, they can't see it, but it's watching their behavior and
it's kind of Orwellian.
Yeah, exactly. There's some research that suggests that kids might actually behave better. For a while, so they kind of, it's easy to convince kids that there's an imaginary. Yeah, for a while, right. That's the key, because it wears off. Then it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, and maybe they won't, you know, believe that anymore. And I mean, ultimately, if you're talking about morality, it has to kind of come from some kind of intrinsic moral system where kids just want to behave morally. That's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah, you got to teach your kids to respect life and other people. You can't just teach them there's some like mystical being floating around. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today is, I guess, kind of what are the implications of teaching your kids that, you know, to have good behavior based on consumerism and gifts versus like empathy and, you know, feeling bad for when they hurt someone or do something that accidentally make someone upset or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think humans have some kind of intrinsic morality, and obviously we want to reinforce that as a society, but Santa Claus is probably not the way to do it. Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, maybe there's some magic in Santa and it's kind of like this fun, special experience to believe in this guy. I remember really loving Christmas and thinking it was magical and special, but it wasn't because of literal magic. Like, it wasn't because of some dude who flew around on a sleigh, like, which I didn't think was really possible. So I think, you know, even after you think that Santa is not real, you can still kind of enjoy the idea of Santa Claus. Like, it's like a shared myth that we all kind of acknowledge is not true, but that doesn't mean you can't still get something out of it.
Right. It's kind of like a game we play, I guess. Like, I think about with my kids, you know, they and just for the record, my kids currently do believe Santa Claus exists. I'm saying it quietly because they might be nearby. But my wife and I are trying to figure out if we, you know, next year we've pretty much decided we're going to break the news to them, even though they're only going to be 6 years old. And they'll be 6, 3 and basically newborn. So my newborn will never think Santa's real, I guess. But, you know, we've kind of like wrestled with this over the years. And my sister hasn't done the Santa thing with any of her kids. And it's interesting because one of her kids is now kind of like diverting back into this like belief of Santa, even though they've already told her that he's not real. So she's just like choosing to believe against all the evidence. It's kind of funny.
I mean, we have a baby. I haven't decided yet what we're going to do, but I have kind of no interest in really perpetuating the Santa myth, but I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I don't think it's bad if you do. I don't think it probably doesn't cause much harm. As long as I say, like, I think the most important thing is to teach your kids critical thinking skills so they can kind of work it out for themselves. And if they start asking questions, you just answer truthfully. And so if they say, like, well, so, like, how does Santa get around? And you say, well, I don't know. What have you heard? And maybe they'll say, oh, he flies around with reindeer and stuff. And you say, well, like, so does that mean reindeer fly? Like, what do you think about that? Does that make sense to you?
Right. What do you think about that? I like that.
Yeah. 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 Or how would Santa get around? Like, you just ask questions, right? And see how they think and try to, like, get them to think around along the right paths. And they'll probably just come to the conclusion themselves. You don't have to, you know, spoil the myth for them. You just have to kind of teach them the skills to work it out for themselves.
We have gone to the Twitter polls, and we have asked you guys what you think about this dilemma, and we're going to take a moment to initiate a brand new segment on this show called Earth to Damn White Guys.
Earth to Damn White Guys. Earth to Damn White Guys.
Well, I asked people if it was a good idea to perpetuate the myth of Santa Claus. And actually, it's a poll, and it seems pretty even down the middle. I think about half of people think it's a good idea to keep telling your kids about Santa Claus, basically telling them the whole story of Santa Claus and that Santa Claus is real. And about the other half think that Santa Claus, you shouldn't tell your kids about Santa Claus. A number of people, I guess, kind of feel like I feel like it's not that big a deal. And they choose not to do the Santa Claus thing, which is, I think, probably what I'm going to do, just not like do it. But like if my kid kind of picks up Santa Claus from school or friends or whatever from society or something, just like
maybe you'll play along,
do whatever she wants. Yeah, like I might play along, I don't know, but I'm not gonna like actively lie about it. So if she starts asking questions, I'm just gonna say, well, what do you think, like what have you heard? You know,
right?
So I think that's kind of the middle point, I guess. Mm-hmm. Some people are really strongly think you shouldn't lie to your kids at all ever about anything.
Did you get any good tweets? Guess
if it's an omission, well, people said that, like, don't lie to your kids, basically.
That's a pretty good.
Then other people
say,
what's the harm? Legit question. Well, here's some interesting ones. I got Babs, Aqua Birdie, saying, strange stalker / intruder gives you gifts based on his personal sense of ethics. Hard pass. That's pretty hard, no? Yeah. A lot of people are down the middle.
Good logic.
Holiday Sunshine says, I see both sides of it. On one side, it's deceiving a child. It can create hard feelings when one child receives more or better gifts. On the other side, it can create a sense of magic and wonder, which I'd argue is a good thing. Terry Moore says, yes, I guess, yes, it's ethical, I guess. It's an early opportunity to learn that the adults you trust are also liars. I think that's either sarcasm or... teaching a hard lesson early on.
Yeah. You have to go in there. You cannot be in here. Hey, hang on 1 second, Andrew. Hang on. Honey, no. Honey, you need to get it and do not come back in. You can't come in here, okay? You can't be in here right now. I told you 3 times. Please go out. Thank you. Please do not come back until I'm done. Thank you.
You got to tell her that Santa Claus is watching.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate irony, wouldn't it?
Our Santa Claus won't
visit. I'm so scared I'm going to say something and forever that she's going to know. And then we're going to, this is her last house. Christmas. I can't. I'm getting mad about protecting Santa is the odd thing here. I'm like, you have to go out so you can believe in Santa for 3 more months.
Moon-faced festive assassin of joy on Twitter says, yes, but for me, there's a conversation that comes as kids age 7 or 8. When you sit down and explain, they're old enough to know that Santa is real in a different way. To remind us of what to be.
In the way that he is dead.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is kind of what I think. Santa does exist to some extent in some kind of postmodern sense, but not, like, literally a person living at the North Pole.
Yeah.
It's just, like, kind of this cultural meme. Santa is an old cultural meme, basically.
Right.
Oot Gerhardt says, I never got this whole concept anyway. Why should any lie, however romantic, be more magical than the concept of humans loving each other and trying to find lovely gifts to make one another happy?
Fascinating stuff. We're going to put a pin right there to talk about the people who made today's episode possible. We're talking about Sunbasket. I love this service. There's a lot of meal plan options out there. I've tried a bunch of them. Sunbasket is by far my favorite. We are humans. We do our best. We feel our best. We do our best thinking when we are nourished and we're getting everything our body needs. You are a biological organism. After all, it makes sense. But it can be kind of overwhelming to try to make sure you're getting everything you need every day, especially if you're cooking and you're doing all of this on your own. Sunbasket offers 18 quick, healthy recipes every week, including paleo, gluten-free, vegan, and calorie-conscious options, all delivered straight to your door with organic produce and clean ingredients. Sunbasket takes all the hard work out of the equation so you don't have to worry about the details and you don't have to feel like eating is a chore. Eating shouldn't be a chore. It should be the most pleasurable thing you do all day, for crying out loud. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter if you're a freaking chef of a five-star restaurant or if you're just Joe Schmo whipping up oatmeal every morning. Nothing against oatmeal. Oatmeal's great. I actually burned oatmeal yesterday, so I'm one to talk. They've got more options than ever right now, and they have this app that you can just go on your phone and you can do all the ordering from this app. You don't have to go to a website or anything. It's all very intuitive. They've got 18 weekly recipes you can choose from. You can easily cook dishes like Buddha bowls with braised tofu, soba noodles, and cashew lime dressing. I'm also personally a huge fan of the salads that come with Sunbasket. And, you know, the meals that you cook are great, and I love them too, but the salads, especially because lunch is always my most rushed meal, and it seems really difficult to find a good quality salad where the greens aren't wilting and stuff like that. Sunbasket always delivers. They've got a little something for everyone, no matter your diet: paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean, family options, and more. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh, organic produce and responsibly raised meats and seafood. I cannot stress this enough. Every single meal I've had delivered by Sunbasket has been top quality. Usually with some of these meal services, there's a little bit of slippage. I don't know what better word to use between the meals. Like, some of them are great, some of them are not so great, but every dish I've ordered from Sunbasket is amazing. Everything comes pre-measured, so you don't have to sweat the details, and it shows up right at your freaking door. You can easily whip up a healthy and delicious meal in as little as 15 minutes. You're gonna look like a pro. They have a little something for everyone, so you can do your thing. They're giving you guys a special deal for listening today, $35 off your first order. All you gotta do is go to sunbasket.com/damnguys, as in, damn guys, that's a really good deal. That's sunbasket.com/damnguys for $35 off. sunbasket.com/damnguys. See, for me, the whole thing with Santa Claus is, like, it's not that I don't want my kids to have fun or something, because, like, I get that it's, like, a fun game to play, but I just don't want them to, I want them to think of the world as, like, a very practical place that is not, like, whimsical, and there's not, like, anything beyond them that they can't, you know, get their heads around. Like, I want them to feel comfortable, like they're not just being watched all the time. So for me, like, that's the part that's most interesting to me about this question is, like, what does it do to your kids when they think that there's this, you know, and it's not just Santa Claus. There's tons of variations of this, you know, especially in Western culture. But, you know, the question of, like, what happens when you think there's someone watching you all the time and your behavior is based on it? Now, granted, I don't feel like my childhood, even though I was taught to believe in Santa for a long time, I never really felt like my parents were railing, like, good behavior into me because of Santa. So it's not, you know, I don't have any, like, hard feelings or anything, but I think it's just more about, like, the practicality of that doesn't exist. Why would you tell your kids anything for that long that's not true? I just don't see what the utility is.
Well, so this comment just made me laugh a little bit. This griever says, myths and legends are the basis for a vibrant imagination. If we kill off all the childhood fantasies to appease whiny adults, what kind of children will that make? Dry-ass Beckys and Chads who have no dreams of just grind for cash until they breed.
Interesting argument.
And then someone said, nailed it, imagination is key. So, like, I think that people really think this idea of kind of, like, imaginary lands, and, I mean, in a sense, like, what's the difference between Santa Claus and fiction or acting, acting, movies? I mean, all our consumed media is actually just kind of fake, right?
Right. It's a simulation. That, Santa Claus is a simulation.
Oh, like there's this movie Galaxy Quest, which is a parody of Star Trek. And these aliens intercept Earth's TV signals and they think all of Earth's movies are real. So they capture abduct like the captain of the Star Trek or whatever, because they think he's a real space captain and is actually going to save them from this alien. Because and then when they realize he's an actor, they're like, you were just lying.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
is this the one with Tim Allen or is there?
That's such a good movie, actually. Yeah. With Tim Allen. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they think he's like a real space hero or whatever, and he's just an actor, right? He's just like this kind of actually like washed out actor, and he's not super with it. But then they abduct him because they think he's actually like a space hero and can do all these things.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, like, what is the difference between fiction? I mean, so if you're actively saying, I guess the difference is, like, Santa Claus is a fantasy. Fantasy's great. Like, if you're actively saying, no, this fantasy is real, then I think that's where the line is for me. If you're just kind of, like, telling them a story and sort of ambiguous whether it's really literally real or just kind of, like, this imaginary thing, I think maybe that's fine. But to kind of say, try to, like, fill in all the logical gaps in Santa Claus, where like, how can Santa Claus do this, all this stuff in one day? How can he fly around the world? That makes no sense. How can he eat like everyone's cookies? Like, right. I guess that's why he's pretty fat, but still, you know,
right.
How can he fit down your chimney? Like, have you ever looked at the chimney?
I think that's the line for me too.
So this is some of the evidence, the line of reasoning we went and we like examined the chimney and we're like, this chimney's pretty small. I don't think I could fit down it. I'm a little kid.
Yeah. We lived in a condo once where we didn't even have a chimney. It was just a gas fireplace with like, I mean, I think it had some kind of chimney, but it's like a vent or something, you know, it's not like a fireplace. So like our kids used to ask all the time, how does Santa come in? I'd say I'd never seen him because I was always in bed.
Yeah.
I do like the imagination part. And as we talked about last week, I think we owe a lot to imagination. And I think there's a lot of things you can do to jumpstart your imagination. There's a lot of good, you know, it's like a mindset imagination. Mm-hmm. So I think like in some ways the Santa Claus idea is a really, it creates maybe a really cool mindset for kids if they are thinking about, when they're thinking about that, you know, maybe it does give them something kind of, that turns their brains on in a productive way. But
yeah, that's another thing. In one sense, it could be just the first logical challenge they're presented with, and it's up to them to figure it out. So as long as you're not like actively lying about it, you tell them the story and you say, yeah, that was the story, you know, and good for you for figuring it out, because, you know, that's, you're going to have to be able to discern. You're going to have to learn critical thinking skills and be able to tell the truth, right? To tell alternative facts from real facts. And you're going to have to learn how to judge the credibility of sources. So as long as you're not kind of going out of your way to really, you know, tell lies about it and try to cover the tracks and stuff like that, and you're just treating it as a story, it's maybe fine. Augusto Lugo says, it's a good idea for the economy, Santa Claus. It's a magnificent idea to sell Coca-Cola. It's not good for a child's minds, feelings, trust, and confidence to find out it's not real. It's not good for critical thinking and science divulgation. I'm not sure that's a word. So I say keep the character, discard the myth. But then it brings joy to children, other people say. So, yeah, I think it's about 50-50 on people's opinions.
Yeah, also, St. Nick was a real person who did really nice things for people. He was, I mean, that's the reason we have a freaking holiday where he's the mascot, you know, because people wanted to remember him. So we shouldn't,
that's semi-mythical too. Semi-mythical too. Like, yes, there was a real person probably named Nicholas who was made a saint, but all the saint stories are really pretty mythical, you know. Like, they basically make up, they have to make up miracles that they performed in order to be canonized. They have to make up three miracles. I guess they say they have to, like, discover that they did three miracles, but usually they make
Saint Nick's miracles are the most. Saint Nick's miracles are the least utilitarian of all the saints.
Oh yeah, well, I don't actually know what his miracles were.
Well, you know, he can travel the world in one night, delivering presents to billions of children, and
No, but the real St. Nicholas did have miracles, and he was the patron saint of children,
really?
And prostitutes, and a number of other things. Yeah.
St. Nick did miracles,
sailors,
supposedly?
I think, or something. Yeah, sailors, yeah.
What were these miracles?
Well, every saint has to do miracles, or they don't become saints, right?
What was his miracle, do you know? Canonized.
I have no idea. We should look it up.
We should look it up. Let's look it up
real
quick.
I'll leave that to you. Hey, we should have a segment for three damn or two damn white guys have to look up something.
Houston, we got a problem.
Okay, so time of famine, a butcher lures three children, and he's going to sell them as ham. This is not good. Resurrected the children. Hey, so
wait, what?
The miracle was that a butcher had killed some children during the time of famine to sell them as meat, and St. Nicholas resurrected them.
St. Nicholas raised children from the dead?
Yep.
Three children?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? How does stuff like this get made up? I've gone my whole life and never heard this.
So some sailors were unloading a ship during a famine, and they unloaded the wheat, and then there was still a bunch of wheat on the ship, so he doubled the wheat. It's like the Jesus story where he made all the bread kind of thing.
Right.
Except it's
you have it, folks. It's in a history book. It's in a history book. It happened. It's real.
It's on Wikipedia, actually.
Santa Claus raised three children from the dead.
It's on Wikipedia, not a history book. But it does have a reference here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're miracles. I don't know.
I didn't know this. I people actually think this?
Yeah. I mean, every saint has to have three miracles, so literally they basically make up miracles. Like, one saint's miracle was that he
according
turned
to what
one
metric?
Type of fish into another in his mouth because he thought one fish tasted like another.
The crazy thing about that is that, like, a human decided that a saint needs to have three miracles in order to be a saint, but a miracle is an act performed by, like, some supernatural power. So what human would be qualified to say that a saint must have three miracles? To like, it just doesn't make any sense, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, there are more than 10,000 saints.
Wow,
that's 30,000
miracles. That's 30,000 miracles, yeah.
That's a lot of miracles.
Damn.
Yeah. Anyway, so St. Nick was probably a real guy, probably did not raise three children from the dead.
Probably not.
Probably
didn't
did
make
not
a bunch
double
of wheat.
The grain, the wheat, yeah. But, you know, decent guy. I think he's known for putting gifts in your shoes, and that's why we associate giving presents.
Yeah, well, your socks, right? It was stock. That's why we have stockings, right? It was socks, wasn't it?
Interesting. Yeah, I think
wasn't
it was
it socks?
Shoes, but I mean, same thing, kind of, right?
Maybe people got tired of their candy smelling like shoes.
Yeah.
They're like, we need to put these in something we can wash.
Socks are traditionally worse, but yeah, I guess you can wash them.
You can wash them.
You can wash shoes too, but they don't always turn out so well in the wash. Anyway, so yeah, Santa Claus. I think people are pretty divided. It's about 50-50, I think, whether you should perpetuate the myth of Santa Claus, which is the specific question. People have different arguments for both sides, like imagination is a good thing. It's a fiction that we tell ourselves. I think that's kind of what it is. It's a cultural meme. It's a fiction. It's like Lord of the Rings or some other fiction. It's a fictional story. As long as kids kind of aren't too into like the veracity of it, like how real is this? If they start asking questions and the whole thing just logically unwinds, just let it unwind. That's what
let
I
it
think.
Unwind.
Don't try to preserve it.
Yeah.
But if kids want to like believe in it, fine, whatever. You know, no big deal. But don't try to like convince them it's true. I guess is where I would say.
Yeah, that's where it crosses the territory of being harmless and innocent and fun to maniacal and manipulative and
I mean, little kids believe, I think, in almost everything literally. Like, they watch something on TV and they'll probably think it's true. I mean, because they don't have that critical skill to separate what's fact and fiction. This is why, I guess, they're so susceptible to Santa Claus. And, yeah, we shouldn't, you know, manipulate that. You know, it's not – they need to develop that sense of critical thinking to be able to tell fact from fiction. And I think Santa Claus presents an interesting case. So maybe it's a useful exercise to actually have them go through that.
I think you're right. I totally agree with that. So my kids have had a pretty good run. Maybe I'm going to try that with my youngest instead of just not ever telling him about Santa. I'll just see how long it takes him to figure it out. Yeah. And then I'll just compliment him when he finally does. I think that sounds like a good plan. That sounds more fun than just like telling your kids no matter what that he is real.
Yeah.
As like parent, that's got to be really gratifying to
just leave it ambiguous.
Figure that out. Yeah.
And if they ask, don't say yes or no. Just say, well, what do you think? What's the evidence for pro or con, one way or the other? What do you think?
I love what do you think as a question, because it's like, you know, the kids, I think a lot of parents look at their kids and think that they don't know anything, that, you know, they haven't been on this planet long enough to think for themselves. And that's their job as a parent, is to think for them. But in a lot of ways, you know, I think that's true. But in a lot of other ways, I think kids are, you know, they're clean slate. They don't have any, like, you know, garbage on them. They haven't been really conditioned yet by society. They're kind of like about as pure as it gets. So I think it's great to let them lead a lot of things. And this is another one of those things that I think's great for them to take the reins on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We solved the problem.
Question answered for
all of history. No one will ever ask that question again.
If they listen to the episode, thank you guys for listening. It's been a fun one. We're going to keep this one short. I hope you're enjoying your holiday. Tomorrow is Christmas, and it's going to be a good one. We're looking forward to next week. And special thanks to Donovan Jordan for helping me out with the soundboard. We got a bunch of awesome sounds this week. I'm looking forward to showing you guys more. We only played a couple of them, so there's some Easter eggs coming up in future episodes. But Donovan's an old buddy, so it was fun to have his voice on these. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew is at Mars Raider. If you want to really help us out, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps tremendously. And we will see you guys next Monday. Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Take care. Now this is the part where, this is like on Anchorman, where we're like competing to have the last word. Well, I think I just got the last word.
I've already stopped the video recording.
It's okay.
You're too damn white, guys.
I made this for you.